Books of the Bible. The gospel is present throughout all of Scripture, beginning with the book of Genesis. Immediately after the fall, God promises a Messiah who will crush the head of the serpent. Even in the Garden of Eden, God was preparing the means of our salvation through Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This still isn't an excuse. This is Wretched Radio. Just thinking about men whose role it is to step up, step in front, take the bullet for women should be leading the way when it comes to denouncing these school boards, these city councils that want our girls exposed to boys in the locker room, to potentially have their face blasted by a volleyball from a dude who thinks he's a girl, that we need to be denouncing this, calling it what it is. This is twisted business. This is deplorable. This is where, like, bottom of the barrel, repulsive. And we should be leading the way on this, because do you know who the leader is right now when it comes to protecting women in sports? Riley Gaines. Now, I'm grateful for her, and I get it. A woman speaking on behalf of women. I get you know, that resonates in our culture. I get that. But I don't think that's the way it ought to be. I think it's the role of men to say, sorry, and not if we have anything to say or do about this. You are not going to treat our women this way. Somebody sent me a meme, and it was something like, it's a dude, picture of a guy, and like his head is in his hands. When you live in a culture that promotes transgenderism, body mutilation, LGBTQ, and the list went on and on. And then they call you an extremist for denouncing it. Woo! That's our world. But we need to call it. And it's super easy to just whiplash from being passive to being like unbiblically aggressive. We certainly don't want to get physical about it. That's not a role. Unless, of course, we're actually physically protecting somebody from physical harm. But we are called to point these things out strongly. I know it's not easy. And we tend to just veer from the passive ditch just we're all gentle to we gotta speak truth in love without the love part. It is hard to do it, which incidentally, I'm going to be preaching on that this Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church. We got to give each other a little room. Got to give each other a little space in this. That I think that we don't know the exact tone of Jesus. We know that it was a lament when he was woeing the Pharisees, calling them out, calling them to repentance. We know that it was a heavy heart of the God who desires to see people saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what that tone was like, we don't know. And so we can't say that my tone is the exact tone that should always take place in every single scenario. I think that we've got a little liberty in this. That there are times when maybe to the school board, it's, my friends, I'm so concerned about your soul. I fear for your eternity. I think that's appropriate and acceptable. On the other hand, I can see a Christian man standing up and saying, you should know better. You should know better. It is obvious there's a difference between boys and girls, and that body parts are part of what defines those distinctions. And I am staggered that you can't tell the difference. And more than that, you are willing to expose girls to boys because of your godless agenda. I encourage you to repent. I encourage you to cease. This behavior is not just a different view. It's deplorable. It's disgusting. It's perverted. I think that there's range. I think that that's acceptable too. And we should allow for that and probably not jump on each other because we're not in that particular circumstance. We're not dealing with the issue in the moment. But I think that standing up and speaking courageously, tone, I think that there's a little wiggle room going on there. But to stand up, to fail to stand up as men for our women. I think that that's just an acknowledgement. Third wave feminism, congratulations. You pretty much won this squabble over toxic masculinity. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a tough question we're going to start with. This is from Steve. Todd, my wife of 13 years kicked me out of the house weeks ago. She packed all of my things, put them in the garage. While I'm not a perfect husband by any means, I've never physically or verbally abused her. Yet throughout our marriage, she has verbally abused me and children. I'm lost because she claims to love Jesus, yet she acts so angry and hateful. If she will not go to counseling or let me back in the home, what am I to do?
Talk to your elders immediately. Get them engaged. We're responding to an email that was sent in. So this is, we're not rendering a verdict, but if indeed a woman is living an ongoing sin, she is being the, what was the book that we talked about a few weeks ago? Jimmy, do you recall? It was about the not the belligerent wife, but the, you know, like the nasty woman who's just mean and abuse, the abusive wife, I think something like that, or the abusive woman. Hey, it happens. And just like a man who is being abusive, whether it is verbally, spiritually, physically, whatever it is, the elders need to get involved. And you need to begin the process of letting them implement church discipline. Furthermore, this your wife, it sounds like she's in spiritual danger here. So you should want to get reinforcements. And that can only be found with your elders in the context of a local church. And if you, by the way, are not a member of a local church, if your elders say, I'm sorry, we can't get involved, you're not members and we have no authority, don't get mad at them. They'll maybe try for you to give it a go and help you out because you've been maybe faithfully attending the church. But if you are not a member of a church, they're not obliged to step in and do the very painful work of church discipline. So become a member of a local church. Don't delay. This is yet another example of the danger that you are in if you are not a member of a local church. And if I could add on a practical level, sir, don't stop pursuing your wife. Win her. Don't just say, I'm going to keep doing this stuff, because the reality is we don't do as good as we think we do. We tend to give ourselves too much of a pass. Well, I would encourage you to not do that. Honey, sweetheart, could please tell me. I'm open. I want to hear, how am I sinning? Tell me how I'm sinning. I want to repent of it. I want to get better at this. I want to be a better man for you. Don't stop pursuing her, and don't think that you don't need to. Because the reality is, even if you've been married for, 34 years and things are going pretty smoothly, you're still not as godly a man as you should be, because it's an ongoing lifelong process. So keep on pursuing her. Idea at wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Allie. Todd, I was wondering if you have any advice about the game Dungeons and Dragons. I'm trying to get a biblical
perspective. Still out?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
She says, I'm trying to get a biblical perspective on the matter. I have a church elder who is heavily involved and it makes me uncomfortable. My children have church friends who play the game, and I'm not sure if I'm being too judgmental for saying no.
No, you're not. You have every right to do that, and you shouldn't be made to feel bad about it. Wow, Dungeons and Dragons, D&D, that thing has been around for decades. Now, all I recall about it, I'd have to go do a little searching on this, but what I recall about it is it's dark. It's not pure, lovely, worthy of praise. Isn't there a lot of death going on in that game too? Is there indiscriminate killing in Dungeons and Dragons?
I think so. I'm not really certain because I've never played it.
Yeah. And I don't know if there are things that you are...
There's a lot of magic.
Okay, that's enough then. That's it. Then Dungeons and Dragons. That's it. Kind of witchcrafty, mystical sort of stuff going on. That's just a territory a Christian doesn't need to be in. Knowing that God hates it, Deuteronomy 18, Rexella, he despises those things. Tarot cards, hates them. Divination, sorcery, witchcraft, Dungeons and Dragons, hates it. hates it. Why would you want to go playing it? Saying, I've got liberty. I've got this under control. Try that with your spouse. Okay. Here you go. There are things that every spouse just bugs them. Now, whether it's a sin or not, I'm not even sure it's relevant in this instance. But my wife, knowing my detestation for nail clipping, if she were walking in front of me going, clip, 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 I've got liberty, I'm not sinning. Hey, I can do that. I'm not being affected by this. You'd go, wow, she's not being very loving. She's not esteeming her husband very much. Ditto with God. When he says he hates something, what? Why would I go play in it? That stuff is, that those territories are sinful. And it's always helpful to swap one sin for another. If magic and witchcraft, sorcery is sinful, and it is, read Deuteronomy 18, and then exchange that sin with another sin. There's the rape and molestation game. Hey, look, I can handle it. It's just make-believe. And hey, we really have great camaraderie. You go, whoa, problem, ditto. With anything that has anything to do with witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. I mean, you've probably noticed that we're different from our daily podcasts like Integrated with Dr. John Krotz or Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. We're bringing together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity to help you and your local church thrive. But here's the thing. This mission, well, it takes resources, and that's where you come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. So will you join us? Visit fortisinstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, and together we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Attributes of God. God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. God does not learn new information, and nothing takes him by surprise. He knows what will happen and is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Would you like your cell phone to be sanctified? Then send us wretched things to idea@wretched.org or text 877-282-2337. Taken? Did I just push that a little too far?
Maybe a little.
Send us stuff, would you? 877-282-2337.
Here's a text from Anonymous. Todd, I struggle with lust, and I keep trying to repent and turn away from it, but frequently I fall back into the same sin. If repentance is turning and going in the opposite direction, what is the opposite direction of lust?
Simul justus et peccator. I presume this is a man. This tends to be more of a male malady than female. It tends to be the besetting sin of fellas more than the fellowettes. But we need to remember, while we go about the business of mortifying sin, we're going to stumble. We're going to fall. So the first thing that I would say, I'm not answering your question directly yet, but what I would say to you is make sure it's stumbling, falling, and not diving and swimming. Okay, when you catch yourself doing it, do you just allow yourself to keep going in your fantasy world? Do you just let those tapes just keep on running up there? Or do you just try to put an end to it? And it's like, well, it's really difficult. And it's just, you know, I'm young and it's, I see, and then there's the, welcome to Christianity. Welcome to sanctification. It's a battle. The question is, are you engaged in the battle? And if you are, and if you're not a diver and a swimmer, you're a stumbler and a faller, then don't get into a panic over the status of your soul, at least not based on those criterion. The Christian battles sin. The false convert is the one who does not care. Unless, of course, it's a Judas or an Esau-like caring. I care if I get busted. I don't want to be found out doing this. That isn't the heart of a true convert. The heart of the true convert is, I hate this. I don't want to do this. So what is the opposite of looking at porn? Start doing helpful things for women. Start being kind. Start serving. Start having pure thoughts. Instead of being ever bawdy, speak encouraging good words. This is the Ephesians 4 put off, put on principle. I'm glad whoever this fellow is, he's asking the question. That's a very good sign, by the way. Okay, so I know I'm not supposed to do this, but what am I supposed to do in replacement of it? Always think about the opposite. You put off thieving. What do? You put on giving. You put off lying. You put on truth telling. You put off being a hypercritical, condescending Pharisee. And you put on speaking encouraging words, lifting up, and being one that people actually want to be around. What about lust? All right, there's a couple of ways that you can put on other things, because having a drive is not a sin. I mean, clearly, God has given that to us. Aim it in the right direction. So take those desires and aim them toward your spouse. You don't have a spouse. Then get yourself under control to show that you're worthy to be a man that a woman can trust and a dad can say, yes, you may have my precious treasure. And then you can go about the business of lusting with your wife all you want. So you can put your energies and you can aim them toward more smut, or you can aim them toward utilizing those things in a way that is pleasing to God. So, dude, I'm glad you're asking the question. I think that's an awesome sign that you're thinking in those terms. Just a shout out regarding biblical, because what he's talking about is biblical counseling, basically. I want to remind you, May 9 and 10 in Sharpsburg, there's going to be a mini ACBC conference at Faith Bible Church. Is it faithbiblechurch.us?
That's it, yeah.
Okay, faithbiblechurch.us. It's not super expensive. It's a church conference with ACBC. Dale Johnson is going to be there. Stuart Scott will be there. John Kratz will be there. About dealing with the difficult cases, you get 20% off if you use the promo code FORTIS, FORTIS. We're just loaded with good deals. idea@wretched.org. We are.
I know.
We got the G3 deal. That's 30% off.
Also promo code FORTIS. We make it simple around here.
Yeah, because We are simple.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, what does it mean to know Jesus? I used to think I knew Jesus, but I fear it was largely based on feelings created in worship.
Well, there's knowing about Jesus, and there's knowing that you know him, and there's knowing that you're known by him. But the word that I think is the flair that I would kind of grasp at here is that feelings thing. Jimmy, what did he say? I thought it, but it was just feelings generated in worship.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, worship can and frankly should generate feelings. There's nothing wrong with that. So I would not say, oh, well, you were just having feelings in worship, then you don't have real feelings toward Jesus and you don't know him. Would never say that, because I do. We should be stirred in worship. The affection should be informed through the brain as we look at good theology set to poetry with a musical backing. That's awesome. And it can create a feeling, and that's a good thing. And I would say, well, that's one good sign. You know Jesus. You have warm feelings in worship. But I wouldn't base my relationship with Jesus on feelings, because they're tricky. They're tricky, tricky. And okay, so if I do, and if I play that game, by the way, oh, am I going to be miserable? Because, okay, for instance, right now, I'm standing at a table and I'm thinking about this question, but I'm not thinking or feeling anything about my relationship with Jesus. Uh-oh, I don't know him. Well, you be careful of those feelings. I mean, it's the same thing is true with your spouse. All right, are you living happily with your spouse? Does that mean that every single second of the day you're at the grocery store and it's like, uh-oh, I don't have a warm feeling about my spouse. I don't know her. Be careful with feelings. They're tricky. Now, we don't want to ignore them. We don't want to say that they shouldn't exist, but we don't want to use them as the measurement for our relationship with God. What is? Are you growing in godliness? Growing in joyful obedience? Desiring to serve him more? Battling sin more ferociously? Those are the signs that you know Jesus. Knowing Jesus means you obey his commandments. Knowing Jesus means you willingly, happily, and cheerily go about the business of mortifying sin because he wants better for you and you know that he's good. So if those things are happening in your life, perhaps not to the degree that you want, those are the fruits of a relationship with God. Now, as far as feelings go, they are going to ebb and flow. And it depends on what you're doing. And it depends maybe on what song you're singing or what Bible verse that you're reading. So be careful. Do not base your relationship with Jesus on feelings, because then you're going to have to gin it up all the time. Hey, isn't that exactly what Bethel and Hillsong are all about? They gin you up. Okay, all right, I've got a really warm feeling about God. Is the concert over? I'm losing my feelings. I don't have the, I need to be stirred. It's not what our relationship is about. Having said that, it doesn't mean that our relationship and knowing Jesus does not involve feelings. You got anything else, Jimmy?
No, I think that's pretty much, you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, be careful with feelings. There's ditches on each side with feelings. We don't want to overcorrect, but we don't want to rely on feelings. 877-282-2337.
So this question comes from Jim, not Jimmy, but Jim.
You know what? Let me add this.
Okay.
Just as I'm trying to think of the fruit of our relationship with Jesus. What does he give us? A peace that surpasses all understanding. Okay. This wouldn't be like a checklist test that I would give, but you're dealing with something difficult. And you go to the Lord in prayer and you're done and you have peace. I would say that's another sign you know Jesus, that you have peace, that you aren't blown around as much as you used to be by the winds of adversity, difficulty, or bad health. You have increasing shalom. That would be another sign you know Jesus. Sorry, 87. What is it? 87. I texting or are we emailing now?
I don't know anymore. Right. I've lost. So Jim wants to know real quick, what's the deal with the Amish? They fit.
What's the deal with the Amish?
Yeah, he wants to know. Are they seem really rules based?
Yes, they are.
Yeah,
but not all of them. There's war. The Amish have wards. I think that's what they're called. So they've got a certain number of acres. So all of the families that are on that particular ward, if that's the right term, it led by a pastor. And who's the pastor? Did he go to seminary? No, he's just the one that everybody goes, okay, well, our pastor died. So Jimmy, you're the pastor. All right, so in comes Jimmy and he's got a new set of rules. So they vary from ward to ward about electricity, about what we can use in the barn versus inside of the house or on the patio, what we can wear, all of those things. It varies from ward to ward. And that means there are some wards that are very legalistic, but there are some, I don't know how many, they know the gospel. They know about forgiveness of sins. I think their understanding of being in the world, but not of the world could use a little help. But nevertheless, there are some Amish who are saved. But I think it's safe and I don't enjoy saying it, but I think as a rule, overall, it's a work righteous system. So if you ever see somebody in a buggy, witness to them. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.